Mini episode 74 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by DOU Productions, delivering coverage of sports and pop culture through columns, live blogs, and original videos. Follow them on the web at generationshatter.blogspot.com.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
We are fortunate to be joined here by our good friend, Ken Palmer, the football writer for Giant Insider and GiantInsider.com and Pigskin Insider. And again, Ken, this past week was immersed in the situation at Penn State, going down to Happy Valley to pay his respects as an alum and as someone who, in his time there, was fortunate enough to learn up close from the examples of Joe Paterno. So he's going to come on to talk about what it was like to be there this week, his thoughts on what were, of course, a very difficult week at State College, PA. But it's a pleasure to have him in regardless of the circumstances. Our good friend, Ken Palmer from Pigskin Insider. Ken, how you doing tonight, my friend?
Okay, real good, Rick. How about yourself, buddy?
Oh, fine, thanks. So always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. You know, let's just start with what it was like to be there the past couple of days in State College. You knew this was always going to come. You always knew that you'd be making this drive and you'd be going through this, but until November, nobody really could have fathomed the circumstances of it. And I can't imagine what kind of a mood it must have been in that town this week, coming on the heels of the scandal of the last 4 months.
Yeah, Rick. I mean, you knew it'd be a sad day, and it was, but you didn't know that it would be, you know, extraordinarily sad and, you know, even anger. I'm not going to lie. I know a lot of the family, you know, a lot of the people that knew him are still angry at the situation. And you know, can stress actually physically kill a person? Probably not. But can it, you know, aid an illness to kind of attack the body a little more and maybe take away a little of your ability to fight? I think so. And I think, you know, from stopping coaching and then dealing with all he had to deal with, I just think there was no way that there was going to be any other, you know, any other option than for this. And I'm not saying passing away. Obviously, he was 85. He wasn't going to last that much longer. But for it to happen this quickly after, I don't think is a coincidence at all. And that's what really has people still, you know, just so sad, but still, like I said, in some degrees angry.
Well, Ken, we talked about the last time you were on and when we were talking about the Paterno situation of about 6 weeks after the indictments came down in the Sandusky case. We were talking about lazy media memes and lazy memes that people have in terms of looking at this. I have to say, I think it's been a very lazy meme this past week. I haven't heard it so much from the media, but maybe just online, on Twitter. He died of a broken heart. All these lazy comparisons to Bear Bryant. People's minds, I don't think Ken can handle complexity. Sometimes incredible coincidences happen. The man just happened to get lung cancer right at the moment of this huge crisis became public and this scandal and everything like that. It's an incredible convergence. It's an incredible coincidence. And as you say, it may have eroded the strength that he had. But this whole notion that he died of a broken heart, it just seems to me really trivializes it and trivializes what cancer patients go through. This is a deadly disease, and he was an 85-year-old man.
Yeah, which is to get, you know, that's not a good combination. either alone means you're not going to last that long, and then when you couple them both, you know, it is. It's just a bad situation. And what made it worse is that because of the whole controversy surrounding him, he was unable to speak, and it was not physically speak. Obviously, he could speak, but his legal representatives did not want him doing interviews. He did the one interview, and I knew at that point that he was probably worse off than they were letting on, because why was he all of a sudden going to give an interview? And, you know, that's kind of what made it sad is the guy was just fired, never got a chance to tell his side of the story, never got a chance to, you know, explain anything, and now he's dead. So it's never going to happen. And, you know, the board of trustees who owe him an apology, there's no doubt about it. They know they owe him an apology. Now he's passed away. It doesn't matter. They can do whatever they want. They can say whatever they want. It doesn't matter. So to me, that's what just, you know, still has, is just still stuck in people's craw. Listen, if he died of cancer at 85, listen, good for him. 85, I'd sign up for 85 in a heartbeat right now, Rick. There's no doubt about that. But just all the things surrounding it and the unfortunate situations that kind of, you know, kind of shrouded and clouded his final days, is why it's become even a bigger story than it normally would have been.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, just, again, an unfathomable turn of events even 6 months ago, the way that all of this would have gone down. I'm curious for your thoughts. Again, the last time that you were on, you had kind of begrudgingly conceded that, yeah, you know, they're probably going to have to go outside the family for the next permanent head coach. Indeed, they've done that in Bill O'Brien. I know that there was some grumbling in some quarters about that, but the sense that I got from afar in looking at it this past week, people appreciated the dignity that he showed in being there and representing the team, and the humility that he was giving off, and knowing that you know, that all he could do was basically try and you know, serve the role, it seems like, that you know, would bring dignity and honor to Joe Paterno. Did you get a sense from a lot of people that even if they weren't, you know, perfectly happy and maybe regarded him as an outsider before, that the way that he conducted himself this week won himself some fans?
I think so. I think so. And not, you know, not to make too much of one introductory press conference, because I've yet to see many introductory press conferences through the years that have gone bad, you know, but
right.
he you know, he handled himself exceptionally well. I think the players that spoke out, Short and Arrington and a couple others, I think they realized how stupid they were, how stupid they sounded, how selfish they sounded, and crybaby, whiny they sounded. And you know, Arrington has written an apology. He wrote an apology earlier this week in the Washington Post and said, listen, that was stupid of me. I'm sorry I did it. I support the guy. And that's it. They, you know, the guy needs the support. It's a hard enough job to begin with, just replacing Joe Paterno. But then when you throw in all these other factors, the NCAA is snooping around, looking around, and, you know, you got a former FBI head investigating the situation, and, you know, there's still all this scandal going on. You know, the guy's got his work cut out for him. There's no question about it. He's losing recruits left and right. They just lost a big quarterback today. Marty Morningweg's son, Skyler, had committed there and is now going to Florida. They lost two huge recruits from Massachusetts that were coming, a linebacker and a defensive back. They're now headed Ohio State's way. So it's been, you know, he's got a tough enough job. He doesn't need disgruntled, you know, moronic former players bashing him as well. And you know, once they got it out of their system, I think they realized how stupid they sounded. And like I said, to Arrington's credit, he did issue an apology. But all you can do as a Penn Stater is support the guy. Like him or not, you know, listen, I said last time I was on with you, Rick, I would love Tom Bradley to get the shot at the job. I believe he deserved it. I believe he earned it. I believe he's the most qualified guy for the job, but I knew he wasn't getting it, plain and simple. I knew he wasn't going to get the job, so move on. Get over it. Now, I don't think they handled him well either, and kind of just throwing him out with the trash and not even acknowledging anything he did, but the Board of Trustees and the school haven't done anything right in my mind in the last 4 or 5 months, so I'm not surprised by that. So once you get over the fact that it's not going to be Bradley, then you got to get someone. You got to get someone, and this guy seems to fit the bill, and he's an offensive mind, and I'll be honest, I'm, you know, give Bill O'Brien a little warning, because I'm looking forward to kind of stalking him down Super Bowl week next week in Indy.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be talking about that. You'll have an opportunity to see the man up close, definitely. Based on your last answer, I think I know what your answer is going to be here, but I'd like to draw you out a little bit more, because I can tell you that in situations like this, I'm always the most resentful of people that are supposed to be on my side but end up bringing nothing but discredit. So you mentioned Arrington, you mentioned a couple of other people, but the guy who has come off as the biggest grade-A buffoon in all of this, and I realize it's easy for me to say as a Browns fan, but I'll say it anyways, Franco Harris. That guy, from start to finish, It has just been full of asinine statements, it looks like, the whole thing, reckless accusations and the like. He's expressing the anger that a lot of people feel, but what was the sense? Did you get any kind of undertone of a backlash when you were down there about what the hell is this guy doing and making us all look stupid?
Well, no, I don't. I think you're generalizing that, Rick, because most of Franco Harris knows more about this situation than you and me and the next million people combined. He knows what went down, and he has been nothing but supportive to Joe Paterno, and that's angered people. That because people don't want anyone to support Joe Paterno. They want to just bash him and thrash him. And Franco Harris has not. He stood by his side. I can name you maybe four or five, you know, important Penn State legends that have done nothing but been supportive since this has gone down. And Franco Harris is one of them. And some of the things he said may sound stupid, but I could tell you most of what he's saying is the truth. He knows what's gone down with the board. He knows how Paterno was fired, not just because of this scandal, but because the president of the school, Graham Spanier, wanted him out, because the board of trustees wanted him out. This was an opening to get rid of the guy, and no one wants to hear that because it's not a good story. You know journalists as well as I do, and most of them are buffoons, and they want to write the story before the situation plays itself out, and they want the story to be exactly what it is, not what the reality is. And no one wants to hear that, but Franco wants it to be known, and that's why, to me, I give him credit. I actually, I'm on the total and other side of the fence than you on this one, Rick, because I commend the guy, and I value, you know, his loyalty and his dedication and his ability to kind of spew out the truth when no one wants to hear it. And his ability to kind of, he heard the new school president, Rod Erickson, had a town hall meeting, and Franco was there, and he knew the guy was full of crap. He listened to the guy spew full of crap to anyone who would listen, and he said, listen, I'm not doing this. I'm going to tell you what's happening. I'm going to tell you what's right. And Franco knows guys on the board. Franco knows big donors. Franco knows more people than most. So when he says something about the situation, you can very well believe that it's to be the truth.
Okay. Well, I did set that up. I did concede that I am a Browns fan before I said that. But I will also conveniently choose to hearken back to the one snippet there where you conceded that he came off as a buffoon in some of his statements. I will conveniently choose to harp on that. But, no, that's good that you were able to shed some light on that. That definitely is something that's a perspective that we want people to hear about, because it's one that they're not commonly hearing about. In a more general sense here, just to kind of wrap up our Penn State discussion, I mean, I have a question from a perspective that's going to be probably even more difficult than that last one. I just want to lay this out for you and from how I see things and how I think a lot of people see things, and that being Joe Paterno, somebody that I think all of us would have put on the Mount Rushmore of college sports, him, John Wooden, and I don't know which other two guys you pick out, but he probably definitely would have been there. I look at it now, and I got to tell you, Ken, I'm not used to ambivalence in how I look at things. I'm used to having very strong opinions and takes one way or another. But I got to tell you, I've gone from Mount Rushmore to pending the other shoe dropping here and what's going to come out. And God knows there's nothing worse than child molestation and Jerry Sandusky being, you know, given the run of that campus the last decade, even after he was relieved of his job. I go from that to saying, I can't even be sure the good outweighs the bad. I mean, so what would you say to me and to anybody else out there that's gone from, you know, Joe Paterno, terrific guy, great institution, to, yeah, the guy did a lot of good, but I'm not sure how the scales are going to come out in the end?
Yeah, I mean, I would stay, you know, steadfast. And listen, I'm a Penn State alum. I know Joe Paterno. I've been at his house for dinner. So I'm not trying to tell you or anyone else I know the guy better than you. But I do. Mm-hmm. There's no way around
sure.
it.
Okay.
I know the guy better than you, and to be honest, he did what he needed to do. He explained his situation. What's going to come out, and real quick, we don't need to get into this, but I would put it 50-50 right now that Jerry mm-hmm. Sandusky is not going to be going to jail. He's going to be found not guilty. I would be willing to bet about 50-50 on that right now, and then I would turn the question around on everyone else. How asinine and how moronic are you that you buried Joe Paterno, and look, wow, this guy's not even guilty. And I'm not saying he's guilty or he's not guilty, but I'm telling you right now, knowing a lot of key figures in this thing, there's a 50% chance this guy's going to be found not guilty. And then I want the apologies to Paterno, I want the apologies to me, and everything else. So to me, I don't think it this, there's an asterisk. There's no question there's an asterisk. But for most people, and you know this, Rick, unfortunately, mm-hmm. most people are angry. The mob of mass humanity is just angry and jealous and bitter. And 3 or 5 years from now, when we're looking at Joe Paterno's legacy, they're going to have found 6 new victims. They're going to have moved on. No one cares about Joe Paterno anymore because they got him. They got them out. People like to see celebrities fail. People like to see athletes fail because they're moronic and because they're jealous. So to me, where it's easy to talk about now, it's still a hot topic, but 3-5 years from now, there's going to be 5 or 6 or 10 or 12 celebrities that the masses, that the mob has gotten down and gotten rid of and, you know, that type of thing, kind of attacked. So I don't think it's going to stick the way people think it's going to stick. Things are always so big in the moment. And then when you look back, you're like, oh, my gosh, wow. Like, you know, oh, that's right. That, you know, so I'm not saying there's ever going to be a time where there's not going to be an asterisk attached to him, because there will be, unfortunately. But what I'm saying is it's not going to be as fresh in everyone's mind, and people will have moved on. And like I said, 50-50, if Sandusky gets off on this thing, all of a sudden, you know, it changes the game immeasurably. So, again, I'm saying that as a guy that's a friend of the Paterno family, but, and there's things I know that I cannot say on air. I would love to, believe me, I would love to, but there's, you know, 3 years from now, when we're discussing Joe Paterno, we're not going to be talking about this situation. We're going to be talking about, you know, one of the greatest coaches in any sport ever and one of the greatest educators. And I can tell you the best part of that memorial yesterday, 2.5 hours of speaking about him, about a grand total of 12 minutes was talking about him as an actual football coach. The rest was talking about him as a man, him as a teacher, him as a leader, those type of things. Him as a loyal friend, him as someone you could go to when your mom died, even if you were the third string kicker on the team. His actual coaching is such a little part of what he was and who he was, and it was really nice to see, you know, yesterday, everyone kind of appreciate that situation. One last thing real quick about yesterday, though. Very, very good job. Very impressed by Urban Meyer and Luke Fickell being there. In the middle of recruiting season, you know, they took their time out and they went and they showed up. And to me, you know, any Penn State fan that's not ready to take their hat off to Ohio State yesterday for that class move, you know, is not a Penn State fan. Because that was, of all the people that were there, that was probably two of the most impressed me. So Urban Meyer and Fickell deserve a heck of a shout out for showing up yesterday.
Interesting, and a real clip and save moment there when you made the predictions about what's to come in this thing. We're definitely going to have to take a look at that and see how that materializes.